Open your word, if you would, to Luke 19. We've been having a really great time on Wednesday nights looking at the different people in the Bible and their transformation after encountering the Lord. So far we've looked at John, we've looked at Mary, we've looked at the Samaritan woman at the well, we've looked at the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And there are many characters that we could have gone into. How many of you know the Bible is full of testimonies? Just full of stories of people, normal people, everyday people, sinful people that encounter Christ and they are transformed. How many of you love testimonies? Hearing the before and after. We just posted, Priya Sridhar has her testimony. She wrote it up for us and we just posted it on our website this past week. But testimonies are such fun. They are powerful. They are revealing. And it's just great to read about changed lives because it gives us hope that if God did that in them, that same God that never changes, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, He'll do that for us. And even as we sang about the blood this morning, Revelation says we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and loving not our life, even unto death. But there's one man in Scripture who was not in this series we're doing face-to-face on Wednesday nights. He's not in the series, but he's always been interesting to me, and I bet he was a funny little man. Dr. Luke described him as being short. You know who I'm referring to? Who am I referring to? Zacchaeus. And so, anyway, he was only mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, and I've never seen such a quick turnaround from a greedy, corrupt tax collector to this big-hearted, generous follower of Christ. And that's the way it's supposed to happen, is that as the Billy Graham anthem, we come just as we are, but we don't leave just the same. There's a transformation at the altar. And so meeting and encountering the Lord changes everything. It motivates, it inspires us to do things we wouldn't naturally normally do. We even saw that with the first church in Acts about how when the Spirit of God was being poured out, how they lavishly cared for one another and took up one another's needs. It was the touch of God in their midst. It was remarkable. So Zacchaeus' conversion to me is extraordinary. I mean, it's definitely extraordinary. There is definitely a before. There is definitely an after. And when we read about him, and there's not a whole lot that's said about our man Zacchaeus, but it doesn't give you the impression that he's bottomed out in life. It does not give you the impression, obviously, that he's on skid row. It doesn't reveal any particular real pending need that's in his life, and he goes running to the Lord. To the contrary, it gives the impression as if really he's got everything going for him, but he just encountered value from the perspective of someone who understood value because he was a wealthy man. So let's read in verse 1 of chapter 19 in Luke's gospel. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Father, speak to our hearts. Change our lives today, we pray, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was on a journey. He was on his way to Bethany, actually, to go raise Lazarus from the dead. So he was on his way to go do good. But in between, he's doing good on his way to do good because he's anointed by the Spirit and did good. That's the nature of our Lord whom we love. So we find Zacchaeus, and he's not just a tax collector. And of course, tax collectors were often hated because they were corrupt many times. But he wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. So he's the grand poobah of tax collectors. And we know that he helped himself to the coffers. He took money and he would overtax, and there was corruption there. And the text reveals that he was a wealthy man. And so he's also known by the people in the community to be a sinner, because they said he's going to this sinner's house. So he has this reputation in the community that he's an old sinner boy. But the neat thing about Zacchaeus is that even though he was wealthy, he wasn't satisfied, seemingly, with his wealth. It didn't produce the ultimate fulfillment he probably thought it would. He was still hungry and definitely still searching, to his credit. He was still hungry, still searching. He wasn't too big, literally, to learn new things. He was still intellectually curious. And that's a good thing. That's our hope when we go out into the marketplace or when we go out onto a college campus. Our hope is that we encounter people that have enough intellectual curiosity that they would at least be open to consider truth. They would be open to an idea beyond themselves that transcends their own faculties to deduce truth. That's always the hope, and it's always fun when you meet someone hungry who's genuinely a seeker of truth. When I was a minister at Duke University, I would many times use this term pseudo-intellectual, because many times there was not genuinely an intent to follow truth wherever it led. And so a genuine intellectual is, I will follow the truth wherever it takes me. So if there's no willingness to change, are we really an intellectual in fact, indeed? But as we've heard sometimes in our ministry circles, it's a virtuous thing, the acronym, to be FAT, faithful, available, teachable. And those are the ones that God easily can move in and lead and direct. But to the one who has all the answers, there's not a whole lot you can do. To the casual and cavalier, it's hard to provoke appetite for spiritual things. I mean, you may prepare the most elegant meal, scrumptious meal, put it right out there, but if there's no hunger, what do you do? That's why I like Zacchaeus. He doesn't have all the answers, and he knows it. He doesn't have all the answers, and he knows it. He's hungry still, but he doesn't stop there. He's willing to take action. Verses 3 and 4, it says, he wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, you would think, being a wealthy man, he would have some sense of maybe prideful decorum. I mean, he's a wealthy man. He's not just a tax collector in the community. He's the chief tax collector, like the magistrate in the community. And here it says he ran ahead to see this Jesus. Again, you'd think there'd be a little bit of decorum about him, but he throws off false dignity in order to learn. He throws off false dignity in order to discover. He's open. I mean, he's wealthy. There are things in the natural that he has going for him, but he's still curious. He's still open, and he runs ahead of Jesus. I mean, here you got this businessman. He's running. Maybe it's not real dignified. He's not too cool for school. He's still curious, you see. So he runs ahead of Jesus, and then he climbs a tree. Go figure. I mean, this is not like he's a 12-year-old boy out at recess. I mean, he runs, and then he gets up in a sycamore fig tree. This wealthy person with position, authority, and responsibility runs and climbs trees in the heat of the day. I love it. Hunger and curiosity for Christ will cause us to do things we wouldn't normally do, go places we wouldn't normally go. I remember growing up in this very ornate, over 100-year-old church setting, and would sneak off with my mother on Wednesday nights to go to this little storefront just due to hunger. Hunger. Sometimes we'd listen to people that would butcher the King's English, but it didn't matter. We were just so hungry for truth. When you're hungry, you'll go places you wouldn't normally go. And we get the reward of our curiosity and our hunger. It's kind of like a man in love. You get out of yourself. And see, unlike the rich young ruler of Matthew 19, who turned away sad, Zacchaeus was eager and he was zealous. And when Jesus was coming through the city, it wasn't like Jesus was riding up high in a chariot for all to see. He definitely didn't come in sitting on another man's shoulders coming in. He was at street level. Zacchaeus, being short, again, couldn't see him. And he's got a bit of a handicap, but he refuses to be denied. A couple of points here for us today. Number one, Zacchaeus broke through difficulty and opposition to see Christ. He broke through difficulty and opposition. He could have said, "Daggone it, I can't see." Kind of like the man at the pool of Bethesda. "No one will let me in, you know," but he didn't allow the limitation to hinder him. "I can't see." Have you ever been at some function and you want to say, "Sit down in front"? But he didn't merely do that. He took pains and took effort to run down the street and climb a tree. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now, can you imagine running ahead, climbing and getting in position, and the rock star that you're waiting to see who's passing by all of a sudden stops and looks directly at you, calls you by name, "Daniel, come down out of that tree. I'm going home. I'm going to have lunch with you today." I mean, here you are. You're just trying to glimpse him, and he stops and he pivots and he fixates on you. How many of you know he knows your name? And that's a word of knowledge right there, just like Nathaniel. He knew his name, and he gives him attention and invites himself to his house. How rewarding is that? It's kind of like, "Oh, I hope I can see George Clooney on the red carpet." You know, there are people during the Oscars that just park out there all day. And speaking of being short, they say sometimes they're disappointed because some of these actors are bigger than life. You know, and then they see him and they're real stature, and they're like, "Gosh, Tom Cruise, he's only 3 feet, you know," and they're a little bit blown away. And unless they're standing by someone for the purpose of scale, you can't always tell. But you've got all these groupies that are out there all day long. And so it's like, you know, "I hope I can see George Clooney on the red carpet before the Oscars." And then he stops and he looks at you and calls you by name and then says, "Hey, I'm going home, going to your house." So next point, number two, Zacchaeus' hunger, it's obviously rewarded. His hunger is rewarded. Can you say rewarded? It's important for us to know that we're not just merely pursuing God unto nothing, but there's a reward that comes to the true seeker, those that take pains. Zacchaeus broke decorum to take pains to see this man. And so he's rewarded. God honored his curiosity and persistence. Many times when we talk to people in evangelism, sometimes if they're not that open, you want to leave them with something, some kind of a takeaway to be a little challenged so that it's not just a mute issue and you go on your way. And sometimes we'll just say, "Well, would you be willing to go to a meeting? Would you be willing to check it out? Would you be willing to just go to one Bible study? In other words, would you dare have any skin in the game? Especially if they admit, I don't really know what's real. Well, would you be willing to search it out? Would you be willing to hear just a little bit and hear someone, you know, pontificate about the truths of Scripture and just check it out? Would you be willing to invest just a little bit, you see? Invest yourself on some level. Y'all have heard me talk before about when I was being drawn to the Lord, I would sneak in the back of this church service and I would sit on the back row, and it was like I had 1 foot out the door. I thought, this thing gets too weird. I'm out of here, you know. And I would just sit on the back, and I would just, you know, just kind of looking at it like with it with suspicion, like, all right, you know, I'm just going, I'll give it a little try. And I'd sit on the back with 1 foot out the door, just, and I would leave, and I'd go bar hopping. Then I'd come the next week, and I'd go clubbing. I'd go the next week. And I thought, I'm not committing to anything. I'm just going to go listen. And how many of you know listening is good? Because faith comes how? By hearing. And if we can just have an audience and just tell the story, then that seed will get in there. And what happened is some seed got in me. Week after week, I would leave and I'd go party. But I just kept sitting and that word kept coming in. And not only did I not think it was weird, I finally got to the point I thought, you know, this really is logical. This really is reasonable and rational. This truly makes sense. And it's as if the nickel dropped, the lights turned on, and I truly got right with the Lord. Again, someone sitting on the back with a foot in the door thinking, I'm out of here at any moment, but I kept hearing. I was willing to invest just a little bit to check it out. I'll never forget, as a Duke campus minister, we would always have like an orientation at the beginning of school. You know, we'd have cookouts and we were cooking hot dogs. And this one guy named John Davenport came and ate a hot dog. We met him. And I remember him thinking, well, I ate their hot dog. I reckon I ought to go to one meeting, you know. So he went to the very first meeting and got saved. You know, he had enough integrity in his own thinking to think, well, I ate their dog. You know, I reckon I ought to maybe just give one meet. And then what? And heard something. And then, bam, the miracle of grace took place. Are you willing to invest? Zacchaeus was curious. I went out of curiosity. Is it real? What's there to lose? God honored his curiosity. He even called him by name. I love that. Again, do we realize God knows our name when he calls us? What if he told you, I'm coming to your house? Then we read verse 6. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now again, what a contrast from this to the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler went away sad. What a contrast. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. What urgency. He came down at once. Can you say at once? And he welcomed him gladly. You see, to respond to the call of God, we have to come down our high horse. We have to come down off of our tree, as it were. What's our high tree? What do we have to come down off of in order to follow the Lord? I know that when we went to the church in Bethlehem, it was supposed to be where the location where Jesus was born, the entrance was a door about this high. And everyone who came in had to stoop and bow, the point being it takes humility to get in. So what high place do we have to come down on? And Zacchaeus, he definitely was in a high place. There's nothing wrong with being in a high place positionally as long as if in our heart we're stooped low. I mean, God is the King of all glory, but yet he's contrite and humble of heart, contrite of spirit. That's remarkable to us. So he came down. It takes humility to follow the Lord. Have we climbed down? And I like how it qualifies here. He came down how? At once. Can you say at once? Again, there's that urgency there. There's that urgency. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. I mean, I think sometimes in our witness to people, yes, we want to give room to timing. But on the flip side of that coin, there is a sense of urgency. We're not promised tomorrow. There is a sense of urgency. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day. And sometimes we want people to feel the gravity that there are eternal consequences to the choices that we make. And so Zacchaeus, he came down at once. He came down not sadly, but how? Gladly. Gladly. The Bible says that those who serve the Lord with gladness of heart will eat the best of the land, the willing and the obedient. So gladly. In other words, he wasn't doing God any favors. It was with a whole heart and it was with a willing heart. And this is remarkable because didn't Jesus say that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? It's not impossible, it's just hard. It's not impossible. All things are possible with God. It's just hard because there are more seductive pulls to deal with, you see. That's why I like this guy. He's all out. His humility, his hunger, his persistence, and action are noteworthy. He could have just settled and been satisfied, but that's the point. He wasn't satisfied. Good for him. His wealth was not enough. So Jesus stops, calls him out by name, invites himself over. And in Zacchaeus' home, we read verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." This is a changed man. I mean, he was probably a rascal at one point. I mean, you know you're changed when you go from rascal to saint. And all of us have a little rascal in us. But there is something markedly different in this man based on his encounter with the Lord. How do we know this? Because his former God was exposed. And in the very area he was once weak, now he's strong. That God of money and corruption and avarice and greed now is the very area of his generosity and grace, which brings honor to God. That very thing that had me snared, now's the very area of my anointing. Now it's the very area of my gifting. Now it's the very area of my grace. Do you know that God will take the very area where you're weak and make you strong, and that can be your story? Rice Brooks, who we all appreciate and love, was crippled by fear. We always wonder, why has he always got this big word on faith? Because he had years crippled by fear. And where he was weak, now he's become strong. You see, this is the change. This is the testimony. Zacchaeus went from greed to generosity. He was free. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. His conversion touched and impacted him at the very core. At the very core. He could not serve two masters. Neither can we. Number three, his conversion bore tangible, measurable fruit. His conversion bore tangible, measurable fruit. Upon his encounter with Christ, he's a changed man. Judge the fruit. He let go of his old God and surrendered to follow the true God. The fruit is evident and obvious. Remember, John the Baptist said, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Zacchaeus not only embraced repentance, but also restitution in paying back anyone he had robbed four times over. Now, that's normally the restitution thieves would make, four times the payback. And I would say that that implies he was, in fact, just that, as he would help himself to the coffers. But I love how emphatic and urgent he was in verse 8 when he said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor." In other words, it's like if he was a dog, it's like that tail would just be going. I mean, he's just eager. He's excited. He's not again, like in contrast, like the rich young ruler who went away sad, there's an eagerness, there's a perkiness. I mean, anyone that'll run ahead of Christ, anyone that'll climb up that tree, there's joy in the man. It's not like, dear Lord, I reckon maybe I need to do some penance here. But he's like, no, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. Here and now, Lord, here and now. Not one day I'll get around to... He didn't say that. It's not, at some point, I will heed the call, blah, 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 blah. You know, at some future date when I'm ready and when I've accumulated enough, whatever it may be. You know, he could have put it in his will. He could have waited till he died and said, I am so moved. I have been so touched. Jesus, you are the man. I'm going to write you into my will. That's what I'm going to do. He could have lived, you know, 20, 30 years later. But no, he said, here and now. Look, Lord, here and now. There was immediate obedience. It's just like the fishermen who dropped their nets. People ask, was that literal or did they consider and count the cost? I just know he called them, they dropped their nets and they followed. I mean, only God incarnate can invoke that kind of response. Religion won't motivate us to drop our nets. Religion won't motivate us to walk away from bad relationships and let go of our drugs and our idolatry. And, you know, just another good ideology isn't sufficient enough to inspire. There had to be something that fascinated Zacchaeus. He was a wealthy man, the chief tax collector. There had to be fascination at the heart level that motivated him and that empowered him. Again, he could have written it into his will, but no, he didn't want to wait. He had it within his power to act, and he did. He was willing to do it. I'm eager. I've got to do this thing. I got to give this gift right now. It's like I've got to give this compliment right now. I've got to give this prophetic word now. I got to do this act of service now. Have you ever heard the adage, give people their flowers on this side of the grave? In other words, you know, when someone passes, it's amazing all the things and all the adulation and the eulogizing, which is good and well. But you know what? We can give people their flowers now. Hello? We can give people their compliments now. We can give acts of service. We can do it now while we're yet alive. In other words, don't stop short at merely being, quote, well-intended. Is it within our power today? Tomorrow, we're not sure about. Zacchaeus owned that he had done wrong. He genuinely converted. It exposed his false God, and he followed now the true God. He repented and he turned. And beyond his huge generosity, how else do we know he converted? Because of verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Woo-hoo! That is conversion. I mean, that was hunger and curiosity that led to openness, that led to the encounter, and then the change of heart. I mean, it truly was face to face, was it not? True conversions are obvious. There's urgency. There's eagerness. There's hunger. There's generosity. There's big-heartedness. There's willing obedience. There's gladness of heart. If it's real, there are these things. Hello. If it's real. We cannot get around Christ and be cavalier. If it's real, it'll change our priorities. If it's real, it'll change how we do life. It'll change how we spend our money. It'll change how we spend our time. It'll change our value system. It'll change our worldview. It'll change our politics. It'll change how we interact with others. It'll change us. It'll transform us. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. He was a changed man. It shouldn't be like pulling teeth to get someone interested in the Lord. Hello? It shouldn't be that hard. And for those that are in that place, they've not yet seen him and not yet encountered him. And you know, there's a day coming. There are things that are coming on the earth. But my hope is that people would voluntarily bow the knee and follow the Lord. Don't wait for a shaking. Don't wait for something to go sideways. There was no mention here of a major trial in his life. It didn't paint any picture, description, that there was something where he had a deep, deep need. And there's nothing wrong with deep needs. We all have deep needs, and we all come to the Lord for different reasons. But it doesn't mention that there. He just beheld a value, and he liked it, and he was self-motivated, and he was God-motivated, and salvation came to his house. But I love the urgency. I love the perkiness of this little man, Zacchaeus. Again, if he was a dog, I could just see his tail. You know, not that he was a nervous man, but just everything about him was perky. And I appreciate that in view of those that are spiritually dull or not hungry, and there's no light in the eye. I appreciate this eagerness here. It speaks of authentic conversion. Paul talked about this in part in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 8, he said, if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I don't regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended. There's a sorrow that God intends. As God intended, and so we're not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance, and that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow is, I'm just sorry I got caught. I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm just sorry I got caught. Daggone it, I got caught. I got to pay the fiddler. But he goes on to say, see what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. In other words, it's like the spirit of Zacchaeus. You're like Zacchaeus, the eagerness, the yearning, the action now taken. That is commendable. Paul said that's the fruit of genuine conversion right there. That's the fruit right there, that eagerness, that earnestness. You see, unlike the prodigal son who had a great inheritance and who was just stripped down to nothing, Zacchaeus, a wealthy tax collector, just saw the value of Jesus and was willing to act on it. He was just willing to act on it. Again, number one, he pushed through any obstacle and the difficulty in order to get to Christ. You know that when you attempt to move toward the Lord, there's this thing called warfare. And I mean, it's like someone can have a great experience and all of a sudden the enemy notices that person's getting, drawing a little closer, tries to throw a little intimidation, a little curveball. That should in a strange way be a compliment that there's something worth fighting. But oh, he doesn't want the enemy, that is. He doesn't want us getting close because he knows that when we discover that value, that we're going to be set free. He knows we're going to tap into destiny. He knows we're going to walk in calling. But Zacchaeus was willing to push through obstacles and the difficulty in order to see the Lord. There was hunger. Again, secondly, God rewarded his hunger. God's no man's debtor. Anytime we move toward God, he's going to respond. He rewarded it. We believe that God exists, number one, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And he can pay us back, as it were, anytime in any way he desires. You see, anytime in any way. And he bore fruit that was measurable and tangible. How do we know it was real? Because the thing that meant the most to him, money, he freely departed with it, almost glibly like a little boy at a candy store. It was like the very thing that was a God at one time, now it's a testimony. And there's the before and after. I like Zacchaeus. That's all we know about him. But what a great little man he was. Matter of fact, the title today was A Little Man with a Big Heart. Little Man with a Big Heart. Why don't we stand? Lord, we thank you for personal encounters. How it changes people in the Bible. Lord, how you're still doing it today. Lord, I thank you. A little bit of hunger goes a long way. A little bit of persistence to push through opposition. If you're here today and there's opposition, don't think you've done something wrong. Consider, could I have done something right? You're on your way to see the Lord. And it may require you have to run up a little ahead of the parade. It may mean figuratively you've got to climb a tree. But the effort will be rewarded. It'll be just a little effort to get near to the Lord. Again, he didn't allow his dignified decorum to keep him from doing something undignified. He shook off that false dignity, got up in that tree. And then can you imagine the blessing that Jesus stopped at that very spot, turned, saw him. Why? He saw the hunger. He would pass scores and scores of people to stop for the one that was hungry. And he looked at him, called him by name, and he rewarded that curiosity, that willingness to learn more. It produced a conversion in him. And he went to his home. The fruit was measurable and tangible. John the Baptist, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Lord, I pray that would be our story. Not zeal born of the flesh, but I pray for a zeal born by the Spirit that produces urgency. Lord, I pray that as we relate with people in the marketplace and on campus, may there be a fire in our eye that they can feel eternity in our words. And even though we're gentle of spirit, I pray that they can feel the urgency of the moment. Help us, Lord, to call people to that place of turning, even as Zacchaeus found that in this hour. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Thank you for this example. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.